many love songs you gonna have out here? 97 down the beach at Overstate for Hip Hop and R&B. And we had to get right into it. Hold on, let me add a little sauce behind it there while we waiting on one of our beloved hosts to let her peoples and her peoples know that she's on the radio today. She gotta let her folks know that
they need to know that.
I'm so on the radio. Yeah. So I'm a rock star in the background. You ain't gonna hear it because she don't like putting headphones on. So I'll hear it. All right, we got Miss Shamika Jones in the building. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, V. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. So, now. I'm slightly different than most people on a lot of things, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm like a polar opposite on a lot of stuff. Now, being that it's Black History Month.
It is Black History Month.
I'm just a fan of it just being people of whatever you want to say it. That do stuff all year long. So it ain't just a month for me. So
right.
I like to highlight people all year long. So
right. So
to me, a month is not even enough. Anyway. Mm-hmm. But right now we're gonna get into you're gonna tell them the segment that we're about to get into today.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about some housing issues. So
I'm stealing your notes, Ty, till you get in here.
So right now, we are tuned in to the Community Conversations with the Mississippi Center for Justice, where we believe that an informed consumer is an empowered consumer, and we want you to be empowered through the information that we'll be presenting on the show.
Right.
So today,
yes,
we're going to be talking about some housing issues that some of Mississippi's poorest communities.
Okay.
So everyone in America should have decent, affordable housing and a place to stay.
I agree.
But over the past 20 years, families in low-income communities have had their incomes either plateau or decline, while at the same time, housing costs have soared.
Yes. I ain't giving Ty his notes either, because, I'm holding his notes. You can let that breeze.
Yeah, yeah.
Let the air circulate in here, sir.
Y'all didn't turn against me.
Yeah, we turned against you.
We'll never turn against you, Ty. You know better than that.
Right. We were just discussing about some of the housing issues here and how people in America should have decent, affordable, and safe housing.
Mm-hmm. And look, everyone in America should have a decent, affordable, and safe place to live. And unfortunately, public aid has not been expanded to meet the growing need for affordable housing, and the federal government and or state governments have turned a blind eye to the issue. And statistics show that only 1 in 4 households that qualify for housing assistance receives it. And as a result, most renting households that are below the federal poverty line spend more than half of their income on housing costs. And 1 in 4 spends more than 70%. 1 in 4 spend more than 70% of its income on rent and utility costs alone.
That's crazy. So a household that brings in $20,000 a year would spend at least $14,000 in rent and utility costs. And that does not include food or other expenses that they may have.
Wait a minute. You said if they bring home 20 grand.
20 grand a year.
How much they spend to maintain the household?
70% is $14,000. That's in rent and utility costs.
So you mean to tell me these people got to survive off?
It's hard to imagine.
$500 a month?
Basically.
It's hard to imagine.
So rent-burdened families not only have less money to spend on important things like their food, health care costs, but they also regularly face evictions and homelessness, which further threaten their health.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's staggering for somebody to balance a household out with $125 a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And according to a recent estimate, 2.8 million renting households are at risk of eviction, and more than 500,000 people are homeless on any single night.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm just getting this in. I'm just doing numbers in my brain.
Right.
This is ridiculous.
It's a lot to take in.
Yeah, it's a lot. And, you know, last week we talked about the COVID eviction moratorium. So if people are unable to pay their rent, they should use that protection. And however, if they're unable to pay their rent or the balance of the rent, that cliff would definitely happen in March the 31st when that board, that ban is lifted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we when we talk about the numbers that you just mentioned, we know historically that black households are more than twice as likely to get evicted as white households. And the current COVID crisis only exacerbates that situation.
Mm-hmm.
As with many other aspects of the COVID-19 crisis, black residents have been most affected by the housing instability caused by the pandemic. Think about the climate of safe and affordable housing availability before the pandemic. In Mississippi alone, there's a shortage of more than 52,000 rental homes affordable and available to extremely low-income renters.
And that's just in Mississippi.
That's just in Mississippi.
Wow.
I mean, but imagine... imagine the Mississippi Delta, though. That's Mississippi wide. Imagine what percentage of that is applicable to the Mississippi Delta, where you have some of the poorest communities in the state.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. In addition to that, a recent 4-week survey conducted by the Kaiser Foundation found that an average of 27% of black renters in Mississippi responded that they could not pay their rent last month, and over half, 52%, responded that they had little to no confidence in being able to pay the next month's rent.
Wow.
So as we move through and eventually come out of the current pandemic, the housing impact on low-income communities, particularly communities of color, will be substantial. We're talking about potential record homelessness unless these communities receive some substantial assistance.
Yeah, wow. And again, with that ban set to expire on March 31st, it's sparking fears of a housing crisis that could send people of color out of their homes. And according to... According to the National Low Income Housing Coalition, tens of millions of renters could lose their home when the federal eviction ban ends.
And now that ban ends...
March 31st.
So what we're going to do is we're gonna put what they say a pin right there, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to cover some more information with the Mississippi Workers Center for Justice. Right now, you guys keep it locked to the number one. Where did we leave off?
Well, we actually left off talking about
$18 a day. How some of these? I don't understand how people living off of $18 a day. I don't get it. I don't understand it, and it's amazing. Now, I'm gonna just say it's amazing.
Yeah, and think about some people go out. Just say if you go out on the highway and you got a family and you want to buy a couple of meals from one of the restaurants, you're going to spend about $18 to $20 on that.
Man.
People are making it off of that.
One trip to Burger Donald's.
Burger Donald's.
Mac King.
Right.
Kentucky Popeye. Hardee's.
Wow.
And they spent all their money for that particular day.
What's
that's one of the things we were just talking about, how on the 31st of March, how that moratorium ban is going to end.
Okay.
And then, you know, a lot of people are facing eviction at that, and communities of color would be the hardest hit by that eviction crisis, because black people represent 80% of the vulnerable population.
So
in order to help people stay in their homes, many states are providing rent relief bills, right?
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. In the fall of 2020, Mississippi received $1.25 billion in CARES Act funds. And per House Bill 1810, I'm gonna give you the exact bill because we need to hold our elected officials accountable. Mm-hmm. Per House Bill 1810, the Mississippi legislature allocated $20 million of those funds to Mississippi rental businesses through the Mississippi Rental Assistance Program. Those funds were intended to serve as grants to property owners to help them recover rental income that they lost between March and 1st and November the 1st because people weren't able to pay their rent. Now, I'm going to tell you the numbers again because I see you getting excited.
Yeah, I'm getting very excited.
The state was given $1.25 billion in CARES Act funds.
Okay.
And from that, $20 million were allocated to
Mississippi.
Yeah, this is for Mississippi. Not all for anybody else. $1.25 billion for Mississippi.
What is $20 million that to help the folks with their rent?
$20 million to landlords so that they could be paid in case people weren't able to meet their rental requirements.
Do we have any, is there anything that we can find out, like who actually got checks, or that's just, That's what was available, and we don't know who got the money. Is that
right? So,
so to speak.
So just say, like, with the PPP loans, yes, and the EIDL loans,
right?
There's a website that you can go on to see who received that money.
Okay.
But with the renters,
what's
with
the
landlord,
but?
Okay, here come the, here we go. Here
comes
the
no particular
this
way
right here
to find that out.
Oh, there's the loop right there.
There's no particular way to find out.
Now, but you're still responsible anyway, right? With the assistance, Tyra, y'all still, and Mika, are you still responsible? I mean, are renters, if I'm a renter, right, am I still responsible for paying my rent even though the funds were available, or how does that work?
You're still responsible for paying your rent. Now, okay, if your landlord did receive those grant funds to cover your specific rent, then no. But you, how do you know if your landlord received those grant funds?
So, okay, gotcha.
There it is right there. There's the kicker.
Gotcha.
If you don't know, then you can't say. Now, outside of that, yes, you are still responsible for paying your rent because, like we talked about last week, at the end of this moratorium, there's going to be a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be some people that are going to get snowball payments that are going to show up because all of those months that you didn't pay your rent.
You got to cut the check.
You got to cut something.
So the better thing would have been to just continually pay your rent the best you possibly can.
Yeah, the best you could, yeah.
Right. Gotcha.
But some people are not capable of doing that.
Right. And so in accordance with Section 3 of the bill that Ty was just mentioning, House
this
Bill
1810. Okay.
Right. Any rental business that accepts a grant for any payments due under the rental agreement for that specific property must consider that rent to have been paid in full through November the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So if renters know that their landlord have accepted these grant funds and the landlord is still trying to make them or still trying to collect
forces
back
them.
Rent or something, then that landlord should be reported to the Consumer Protection Bureau or your state attorney's general's office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's the issue, is a lack of transparency.
Gotcha. Wow. That's terrible. Now, right now, what's available, like, right now? Like, is there some recourse still available right now? I know you said until March, the end of March. Mm-hmm. So for people that haven't been familiar with, or say somebody's real tight on them in February right now, what can they do at this point?
Well, they can call our COVID hotline.
Okay.
That number is 228 702-9983.
Okay.
If they're having any issues with landlords trying to evict them for non-payment of rent.
Okay.
Now, again, like we talked last week, it covers rent. It does not cover, like, things that outside of rent, like, you know.
Ain't covering none of the other stuff that we just talking rent.
If you got some shenanigans going on.
If you got some kind of shenanigans now. They're not giving you no money for shenanigans.
Straight and narrow. It covers the rent. But I think the most important thing for people in low-income and underserved communities need to know, and people who are having problems paying their rent, is to fill out that CDC moratorium documentation and get it to that landlord so you can have some relief.
Right, and to get that moratorium application, you can either go to the cdc.gov website, click COVID, and get that form, or either you can call our COVID hotline, that I gave.
All right, well, we're gonna come back. I know Mr. Ty's got some things he's got off. 97.9 The Beat, your number one station for hip hop and R&B. Yes, ma'am. How you doing, Miss Jones?
I'm doing good, B.
We went to Workers Center for Justice, and well, it looks like it's just the lack of transparency is what's happening, and it could be like a lot of problems, real problematic, in the next couple of months. So, I guess even if the you know the evictions is not extended by this new administration, it's going to be rough.
Yeah, and this issue has certainly been around for a while, and the pandemic is placing more stress on struggling families.
So,
but just think, like, although our country came out of the most recent housing crisis in 2008, we have acknowledged that there has been a shortage of quality affordable housing in Mississippi for a very long time. So, increasing affordable housing options through local, state, and national housing development policies, as well as the rental vouchers, subsidized housing, and utility assistance programs, can help people better afford housing. So we need more collaboration between housing and public health sectors so that we can create and promote healthy home environments and better integrate health into our housing systems.
Right.
Particularly for those with chronic health conditions and health issues like diabetes. So the policies that need to be created should center around protecting and upholding the rights of tenants, tackling the growing cost of rent, just providing decent and safe housing, period.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So, it's so much information on my brain. So basically, how does the program help tenants get, how does the program help them get caught up? If we can talk, if you don't mind running back through that for me.
Well, basically, we just need to have more collaboration between the public and housing sectors.
Okay.
And one way to do that is to protect and uphold the rights of tenants.
Okay.
So how do we start there, and how do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ty is implementing a Justice Court Navigating Program.
Okay.
In some communities across the Mississippi Delta. And one of the things that he does is work to create and secure tenants' rights legislation statewide.
Okay.
And that legislation would provide or require judges to take into consideration how evictions might harm a tenant's health conditions or a child's ability to stay enrolled in local public schools or to temporarily stay or pause evictions if tenants can't afford another home in the same neighborhood.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So the fact of the matter is that nationally, about 90% of evictions proceedings cannot afford a lawyer.
Okay.
At their hearing, while conversely, 90% of landlords have high-powered lawyers or some form of legal representation on their side.
Okay.
So it's clearly an uneven playing field for people in a low-income community and underserved communities.
Okay.
They're getting crushed.
Wow.
By that.
Okay. Okay. So for people that want more information, right, they still got the ability to call the COVID hotline at 228-702-9983.
Absolutely.
So put this in your phone for you may have a relative, you may have something like that may need your help, or like for the people that are super, super community and computer savvy, that is, MississippiCenterForJustice.org or the COVID hotline at 228-702-9983. You got any COVID eviction issues and things of that nature.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So have a legal representation or at least knowing your options before you go into court increases a tenant's success.
And you guys help with that as well.
And we help with that as well.
See, that's why it's the Mississippi Center for Justice.
Absolutely. So we just seek to educate tenants about their options before they go into court.
Okay.
And when available, provide legal representation to tenants in low-income and underserved communities.
Gotcha, gotcha.
You think about it, over 90% of those being evicted are black. 90%.
Hey, a minute. Don't be talking about black folks getting kicked out now.
Yeah, but it's
the history month.
It is.
How you doing, Ms. Benford?
But this is something that we need to know.
Right.
This is information we need to know.
That's right. That's right. And so the segment that you guys are getting the information from is Consumer Conversations with the Mississippi Center for Justice. And for those that like just, hitting the computer or getting on your phone with it, it's the Mississippi, that's MSCenterForJustice.org. So that's MSCenterForJustice.org. Or you can call it 844-397-4625. Now, for those of you that's got the COVID issues, the eviction issues, not health COVID, not them issues,
right,
but the eviction issues. The COVID hotline is 228-702-9983.
Right.
Ms. Jones, is there anything else you would like people to know about the Mississippi Center for Justice before we let you ride on?
Basically, I just want to again thank you for allowing us to use this platform
to
be able to get this information out to our community.
Yes, ma'am.
And just again, can reiterate the number and the website, www.mscenterforjustice.org.
Okay.
If they want to call in, mm-hmm. they have a question, or if they have a suggestion for a show of anything related to any consumer-related issues, they can call our hotline at 844-397-4625. 4625. And again, if it's a COVID-related eviction issue, call our COVID hotline at 228-702-9983.
See, Ms. Jones know her stuff, so I got to read off the paper. See, she ain't even look at the paper for her now. I'm just letting y'all, let you as listeners know that. Look, she ain't got to look at her paper. She knows her business. Thank you, Ms. Jones, and thank you, the Mississippi Center for Justice. And this is
community conversations with the Mississippi Center for Justice.
It's live radio, so hey, see, you can make a mistake and you can come back and fix it. So it's on my document over here.
It's community conversations with the Mississippi Center for Justice. Absolutely. I am Yamika Jones.
Hey, this is Big V, 97.9 The Beat, and we like to thank Ty also. You know, yes. he's a busy man. He's such a great contributor to this segment, so.
Absolutely.
All right. You guys keep it locked to the number one station for hip-hop and R&B, and that is 97.9 The Beat.